I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
All right, I go to a doctor to get fixed up, but it's a nurse that heals me, male or female. They're the ones who are there with that smile. I think that smile means an awful lot. I'll say that, too. Jason Gleason is with us from Great Falls, Montana. He's going to help us honor our frontline nurses. It is National Nurses Week. Jason's a Montana nurse practitioner. As a matter of fact, I think just completed his doctorate in nursing practices from Montana State University. Congrats there. 20 years of service in the military, U.S. Air Force, Air Guard, founder of the Rocky Mountain Stroke Conference. We'll talk about that, too. And currently provides VA care in Great Falls. A bit later on, too, Malta State Senator Mike Lang, who carried Senate Bill 442, that was to redistribute the marijuana tax dollars to better meet some local needs. Well, that bill had a strong support in the Capitol, except in the governor's office. He vetoed that. We'll find out more about that. And also, there's a lot of money that was talked about for the much-needed repairs of St. Mary's, that conveyance, $200 million. Well, the state isn't ponying up that much, but let's see if they've got some as we do more than just Band-Aid that St. Mary's conveyance. It's very, very important to us. That today on Voices of Montana. Hey, thank you for being here. We're two decades strong, working on three. We'll keep working at it here, too, from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. I say it, and I think a lot of people understand it in that same vein. You got something wrong with you. You might go to a doctor to get fixed up, but it's the nurse that heals you. Today, we're going to talk with Jason Gleason. In fact, let's welcome him right now, Dr. Jason Gleason. So I take it now, and good morning, Jason. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your service. A retired lieutenant colonel out of the U.S. Air Force, 20 years serving there. Congratulations on that doctorate, by the way. It's a doctorate of nursing practice. Welcome, and tell me about that.
Thanks so much, Tom. Good morning, and hello to your audience. Yeah, I'm tuning in from the campus where I graduated with my doctorate, Montana State University in Bozeman, so I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to be with you this morning. Yeah, you know, my journey in nursing started in high school. I had a biology teacher that said, anyone interested in a healthcare professional, you should volunteer at the hospital. So I did in Butte there at St. James. I volunteered in the emergency department. I loved it, the high adrenaline, but also seeing the impact that nurses can make and literally save lives of people that come in there. And so my journey continued. I went to nursing school up in Haver at Northern Montana College at the time it was called, and got my associate's degree, and then MSU Bozeman for my bachelor's, Gonzaga University for my master's, and then my doctorate in Bozeman here at MSU.
How were those schools? I mean, I looked at that resume, and it was just curious, like you said, at Montana State University, Northern, then MSU. You went to Gonzaga as well, and getting your doctorate there at Montana State University. Give us a rundown of the nursing programs.
Absolutely incredible. And, you know, I love my history because, you know, you take a rural area like Haver, Montana. They have a spectacular nursing school up there. And it's an opportunity for those people in that community or close by it where they have roots. You know, if they want to become a nurse, they don't have to travel very far, especially now with long-distance learning and a lot of, you know, learning from home, a lot of stuff over our tele-network systems and video. But, yeah, to be in a rural area and then to get another degree from Spokane, Washington, a master's degree, it was a wonderful experience to be out there and interact with those folks. And then also to finish up and get a doctorate at MSU, it's probably the best program out there. And I learned a lot and met a lot of very fascinating people that really helped me along the way.
And again, thanks for your service, too. 20 years in the military and now providing care at the VA in Great Falls. Dr. Jason Gleason. They call you Dr. J. I kind of like that, right?
You bet.
All right, Dr. J. What's the mentality? I mean, there's a doctorate for nursing practice. There's a doctorate for medicine as well. what's the difference between a doctor and a nurse?
You know, it's similar in many ways, but there are differences. You know, a nurse practitioner, you know, we have different degrees that we can get, master's degree, but most nurse practitioners coming out of college these days have a doctorate degree, and they put in numerous hours towards clinical time and studies and, you know, learning about different health issues. And so very similar to what our physician colleagues can do, and we collaborate all the time, which is great. But nurse practitioners in Montana can practice independently, like many states.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we take care of patients on the front lines. For myself at the VA in primary care, you know, I order tests and refer patients, prescribe medications, and provide the comprehensive care they need.
Take us back. So when you started and decided to pursue this medical career, and then, you know, you look at the various positions that you've held, where has nursing come in your career, and where do you think it's headed?
You know, it's been a remarkable journey, and I'm so excited for the future of nurses and nurse practitioners out there. You know, as we gain trust in communities, which is honored and it's well earned. You know, nurse practitioners are wonderful at connecting with our patients, meeting them where they're at, not placing judgment on them, but truly meeting our patients where they're at, connecting with that essence that makes them, you know, part of humanity, and then empowering them with tools and resources and education to live their best life. And then what I love most of all about my job is, you know, hopefully inspiring these patients that they can overcome their disease or disability and not have that define them, but truly live their best life, and we're here to help them.
You know, and that's the interesting. Again, Dr. Jason Gleason is with us, a nurse practitioner, U.S. Air Force, Lieutenant Colonel, retired 20-plus years. For nurses, we have this sense that, you know, that smile, that whole part of the healing process that maybe stereotypically in the past we have come to expect that from nurses, but the profession has moved in a great to a great degree, I think, where doctors they're very specialized now, and we used to sort of get that kind of family care, and you still can. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think now more that we rely on nurses for that connectivity to the whole healing process.
Absolutely. You know, and our physician colleagues, they do such a great job in our healthcare system. And nurse practitioners, I see us playing a vital role, and I think a lot of my colleagues would agree, in improving accessibility for our patients. Because you're right, a lot of physicians do go into specialty care, and that leaves huge openings, you know, and needed healthcare services in underserved areas in primary care, you know, on the front lines. And like you said, you know, kind of an old school format of, you know, the family practitioner, you know, still lives today, and it makes a big difference. And that's where nurse practitioners can make a big impact. Absolutely. And about 80 to 90% of all nurse practitioners out there are prepared for that specialty of primary care.
I want to talk about stroke as well, because you have a story to share there. And it's also National Stroke Awareness Month. Something to get to here in just a little bit. Let's talk about that we can't really look at our medical profession now without the view and the glasses, whatever color they may be. They're COVID-colored glasses now. Talk about your experience as a nurse and how that what did you learn from that? What do you think nursing will take away from that? What do you think medicine takes away? And I know we're still in the middle of it, and still there's still a lot to be determined. But give us your sense of where we've been from that nurse's standpoint.
Absolutely. You know, we have come through the battle of our generation, I believe, honestly, the battle of our generation with this pandemic. And everyone out there listening, you know somebody that's had COVID-19, and sadly, some of you know somebody that was lost in the fight against it. And so, including myself, I have patients that have passed away from COVID-19 and its complications. And so we've come through this battle, but the best part about this, the silver lining, is we've come out of it together and hopefully more unified than ever before. But there are questions. You know, I have patients that come into my clinic and I'll offer them the COVID-19 vaccine. And they'll say, nope, I Dr. Googled that, and I found out this and that about it, and I don't want that. Rather than judge them, I meet them where they're at. And again, I tell them, you know, you're the driver of the ship, and I'm just going to give you the information that's out there. And so, for example, with COVID-19 vaccine, For example, I'll go to a patient named Joe. Joe, it looks like you're due for the COVID-19 vaccine. And Joe says, you know what? I don't want that because I have a friend, and my friend got the vaccine, and they still got COVID-19. So it's pointless. Why would I get that? So here's the big value of the COVID-19 vaccine and some of the other measures that, you know, that we've implemented, is that 90% of the time, if you get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine, it keeps you out of the hospital or prevents you from dying from it. So that's the big value. Of course, it lessens the spread in a community as more people are vaccinated, but the big value is preventing death and hospitalization. So I try to meet people where they're at, and I respect their opinions because there are both sides to every issue. I respect it, but I try to inform them well and then provide the best care I can for them. But it's not easy because COVID-19 is a new thing for all of us.
Very much so, and I think, well, let me ask you this, because it's hard, and I've expressed this here as we walked through this as a show together years ago. I kind of just got started and recognized we're going to have to walk it out. We're going to make some mistakes along the way. Let's give each other some grace and walk this out. But in through that, and now especially we're kind of looking at it on the other side, I think a lot of people, I have lost trust, and I've been trying to address that. My loss of trust is not unjustified. I think that through the approval process for some of these vaccines, we have learned an awful lot. And there's still serious questions that everything was above board through all of this. So do you address that? I mean, how was the medical community as a whole? Were they taken in by it all? Because I know some stood out. And they were lambasted for it.
Oh, sure, you bet. And again, I have those patients that come in and, you know, they even go down the trail of, well, I saw on the internet that, you know, it's a conspiracy. And, you know, you hear a million different things about COVID-19. But here's how I parse that out with my patients. And again, respecting the other side, seeking first to understand where they're coming from before trying to, you know, have them understand where I'm coming from. It's such an important thing that we do, and nurses do that very, very well. But, you know, I try to educate them based on the evidence. So what do I do? Because, you know, I also have questions about COVID-19. So what I will do as a healthcare provider, I dig deep into the literature, you know, into the different studies and the information. The challenge about that, though, is there's limited information because it's so new to us, especially early on. But I will go to the science and the evidence to support things. And that's what I tell my patients to do, and that's what other NPs do as well.
Well, I'll leave it at that. I'd like to ask your professional opinion of it. I think I've got it. I'm not going to ask a question expecting some kind of answer here as well. You know, and so I appreciate these positions. I think they're needed and they're justified. But I do very much appreciate as well those who will dig past some of the barricades that are up there. And try to get us more and more informed about this, because we cannot have a society, Jason, where we don't trust our healers.
Absolutely. And, you know, nursing and nurse practitioners generally, we rise above politics and all the social issues, you know, around that, the political side of things. And actually, nurses and nurse practitioners are one of the highest rated admired professions in the country because we have that trust with our patients and our physician colleagues as well. You know, in healthcare, most providers in healthcare and nurses included in that, you know, we rise above those issues and try to base everything we tell our patients on science. But, you know, there's a bad egg in every group. Yeah, a bad egg in every dozen. And unfortunately, they reflect on the entire profession. But overall, across the country, nurses are highly admired and rated so.
Going to come back and talk about something that's very personal to you, but that resulted in something that was, I think, going forward could be very helpful to a lot of people. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and Dr. Jason Gleason is with us, a nurse practitioner. He is the founder of the Rocky Mountain Stroke Conference in its fifth year, so we'll have more on that. And a text message here to pass along, too. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
The Northern News Network, Tom Schultz back alongside here. And welcome. And it's 866-627-5483. That's our phone number today. If you'd like to chat with Dr. Jason Gleason, he is a nurse practitioner. Again, thank you for your service, doctor. 20 years, Lieutenant Colonel, retired from the United States Air Force, Air Guard as well, and currently continues to serve our vets at the VA in Great Falls. I got a text message here, and that's if you want to join us, it's 781-627-5483. I don't want to make this all about COVID because there's just so much more to it. I know, but this one, it was how does getting the vaccine stop the spread? I don't know how long it'll take us, Jason, to not look at things with those COVID color glasses. I think there's still a lot of discovery that needs to be done there. But there's a text message for you. People are very interested, we're asking the right questions, I think.
Absolutely, and I'm so excited to share on Nurses Month to celebrate nurses, but that is such an important question. So if you think of COVID-19, put it in the realm of all our other vaccines like pneumonia vaccine, flu vaccine, and the like. So how does the vaccine work? So you get injected, you know, everybody knows that. We get a shot. It hurts. We remember the shot, right? So we get injected with a vaccine, and the vaccine causes our body to create antibodies to what we were vaccinated against. But here's what people have to know. It doesn't work right away because it takes your body about 3 to 4 weeks to create those antibodies. So when I see a patient, you know, 1 month, and let's say they have risk factors for COVID-19, and I'm planning to give them a vaccine, and they're open to that, and we give them the vaccine, they won't get protection from that for about 4 weeks because they create the antibodies against it. Same thing with the flu and the Pneumovax for pneumonia. So that's how vaccines work, but they're excellent because they provide protection. Now, I'm here to tell you, Tom, I had COVID-19 myself, and I was fully vaccinated, and I even had my boosters, everything, and I still got COVID-19, but as I was laying in bed with a fever 103 and thinking I was going to die, I mean, I felt horrible. You know, the thought came to my mind, I'm so grateful I got vaccinated because I would be in the hospital. I would be, because I wouldn't have that protection. And 90% of the time, it protects us from going to the hospital and also from death. Yeah, so great question. I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you for that. Here's another one. Got a call from a listener in your area, Great Falls, man. Well, I know you're in Bozeman right now, but work out of Great Falls. So listening on KQDI, 1450 AM. Michael, you're on the air with Dr. Jason Gleason.
Hello, yeah, Michael.
Thanks. I don't know. I vehemently disagree with kind of your views as far as the COVID-19 vaccine. And the played-out response of, like, you know, oh, if I wouldn't have gotten it, it could have been a lot worse. It's like, well, I got it, you know, and I didn't participate in getting the vaccination and was threatened with all kinds of stuff from my employer at the time of, you know, if you don't do this, then you can't work here. And like all these extreme measures, right, to have a health benefit that should have been optional in the first place. But basically all these mandates that got put in place took that option off the table for many Americans, you know, and a lot of them veterans that were forced into doing something that was against what they actually wanted to do. But, you know, the indoctrinated folks, and I'm not saying that you're one of them, but I'm just saying that, you know, the solution to a lot of life's ailments is just kind of, you know, eat healthy and exercise. But the thing about it is that that's not really impressed upon the American public today. It's like, yeah, you got to take all these other extra stuff so that you can feel good and be healthy. And it's like, well, maybe we should look at what we're putting in our bodies every day.
Yeah, that, so, I mean,
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that too. I mean, Jason, there it is, flat out. You know, and that's the thing that we're addressing right now. We see these things. We see all the VARS reports, and I don't know that we have satisfactory answers on that right now. So this is why people are asking these questions.
You know, and I love the caller's comment. You know, and again, nurses and nurse practitioners, we kind of rise above all the politics and policy making. I mean, we provide science input regarding the science into those decisions. But generally, day-to-day on the front lines, nurses and nurse practitioners rise above that. We're there to support them. And I'll tell you, and especially your caller, I get it. And so many nurse practitioners out there do, and nurses as well. I've had patients that come to me and say, I'm going to lose my job because I don't want to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I can educate them about it, but I can absolutely empathize with them. It's a hard decision. It really is. And so nurses and NPs, we're here for you. We're here for you, and we want to provide care to you. And so we kind of rise above all the politics of that, which means that you can trust your nurses and nurse practitioners out there to give you the best care that they can. Yeah, so I appreciate your caller's comments.
Well, I believe that, too. I know that people who are in that profession, they sacrifice a lot of hours and a lot. Hopefully they get a lot out of it as well. I want to move off of this, but this raises a question. Do you think that there needed to be more pushback from the mandates? Let's just stick it there. That crossed a lot of lines for a lot of, well, one line in particular for people. Do you feel, or what's the discussion about what happens next? Does the medical community recognize this, learn from it, and start a more aggressive pushback to get answers so we don't lose that trust?
You know, I think there's value in that to a certain degree. You know, obviously COVID-19 was new to all of us, so there are lessons learned that we need to move on and actually change practice and, you know, guidelines and those kind of things based on the science. Again, not the politics and getting sucked into all the debate and everything. And just really, I mean, recognizing and connecting with our patients is so important. But, yeah, rising above that, looking at the science, what lessons can we learn? For example, you know, when the COVID-19 vaccine first came out, it was like, this has got to be given by itself, no other vaccines at all, because we didn't know how it would interact. And now a patient comes to my office, they can get the COVID-19 vaccine, the pneumonia vaccine, the flu vaccine, and all of those things. So again, nurses and nurse practitioners, we rise above. We are trusted in our communities, and we should continue to be so. And that's why it's so important. This is National Nurses Month, an opportunity, again, to honor those nurses out there and to show our gratitude, because truly they were on the front lines during this battle.
Yes, they were. And there's a song, too. I mean, there were a number of songs out there. I've got one here. I probably don't have time to play it, but it does honor. It does pay honor to those who frontline nurses, especially. And then, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. Then the front lines became the front line for this conflict about you know, trying to get to the truth of things here. So as much as we appreciated them 1 year, maybe we weren't as kind to our medical professionals as we needed to be the next. And that's sad for me. But I got to move on here. I know I got a couple of calls. People want to talk about this, Jason, because like I say, there's still a lot unsettled. But I want to respect what you're doing here as well. May is also National Stroke Awareness Month. I'm going to skip the headline news. We got 4 minutes. Let's talk about fighting stroke, because that's another one of those diseases out there that I think we can do a better job fighting.
Absolutely. 80% of all stroke is preventable. And, you know, I know stroke from both sides of the issue. You know, I take care of patients all the time in my primary care practice after they've had a stroke, so I know the devastation. It's horrific for these patients and their families. People out there listening, you know the devastation of stroke because you live with it. But I also know the other side, because in 2011, my wife, it was a perfect summer day. Everything was great. She just turned 40 years old, and we had three little boys at home, 7, 10, and 14. And out of the blue, stroke showed up, and we were devastated because my wife had an ischemic stroke, and she spent 29 days in the hospital and then, sadly, hospice, where she passed away from it. So I know the devastation firsthand, and so I can relate to what people are going through out there. But there's a lot we can do to prevent stroke.
Like?
You know, top three risk factors for stroke: tobacco use. So if you smoke tobacco, quit. Now, that's easier said than done, you know. And so patients quit and then they start again. So quit smoking. Your NPs and nurses are out there. They're a trusted source to help you do that with the tools and resources needed. So reach out to us, because we're here to help you. Yeah, and don't feel bad about your smoking habit. Reach out to us. There's no judgment or shame in that. We want you to improve your health and live your best life. Diabetes. Diabetes doubles your risk of having a stroke. So reach out, again, to your healthcare providers, your NPs, your nurses, and they can help you control your diabetes, empower you with the tools to do that. And then lastly, 50% of America has high blood pressure or hypertension, and that's easily treatable with medications, but we need to know if we have high blood pressure or not, and often we don't until we have a stroke or a heart attack. So those are the three top risk factors that folks can work on, and again, reach out to their healthcare providers, their NPs, to make a difference.
How do people make those behavioral changes? You talk about tobacco use. So Michael called and he said people are recognizing once they take health care into their own hands, they're going to be healthier overall. I think that people are also recognizing just from the cost perspective that they need to do better in that regard. How do they make those behavioral changes?
It's tough and it's a journey and you stay in the battle and in the fight. I've had patients with alcohol use disorder, tobacco dependency, you know, all those issues that we face as human beings. And all of us know people, or maybe we're that person, you know, that is struggling with that. But reach out. Have some hope. I like to get my patients past NOPE, and the best thing to give them to do that is a dose of hope. And that sounds great, but what does that look like? It looks like the tools that we can give them. You know, the quit line from the state, that's an excellent resource for people trying to quit smoking tobacco. Excellent resource. And as I mentioned, diabetes and hypertension or high blood pressure, reach out to your providers and get screened. Identifying it as an issue is number one. And then treat it. Yeah, these things are easily treatable with medications and different lifestyle changes, but they have to be identified first. And living with these is certainly not easy. Nurses and nurse practitioners do a great job connecting with our patients where they're at.
Dr. Jason Gleason, a nurse practitioner, and again, part of our honoring for National Nurses Week. It's May 6th through the 12th. Thank you for your service as well to our country, doctor, and I look forward to chatting with
Thanks
you down
so
the road.
Much. And hey, can I mention something?
Yeah, go ahead.
We choose NPs.org. It's a great website for our national organization, the American Association of Nurse Practitioners.